Chapter 3. Angel froze. What am I supposed to say? She thought desperately. If she admitted Charisse had made everything up, Trey might be angry at Charisse, and she would get mad at Angel. But if she went along with the lie, Angel realized things could get even worse. She suddenly felt trapped.
Girl, don't just stand there blocking the door, Charisse said, giving Angel a gentle shove to nudge her forward. Just see what he says.
Angel wanted to crawl under her desk and disappear. She darted quickly to her chair and sat down. A hot wave of embarrassment spread over her as she opened her English book and flipped to the poem Mr. Collins had assigned. Maya Angelou's Caged Bird. The words were like a temporary refuge. The free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. Angel. A low voice interrupted her reading. She turned to see Trey leaning toward her from across the aisle. He had a puzzled expression that looked to Angel like a cross between fear and embarrassment. She opened her mouth to speak, but no words came out. Trey scanned the room as students steadily filed in. Angel wondered if he wanted to hide that he was talking to her.
Charisse texted me earlier, he began in a nervous voice just above a whisper. And well, you know, it's just that I'm kind of seeing someone else.
Two seats away, Charisse, who had been leaning out of her chair to listen, nearly toppled over. She caught herself with a thud on the desk in front of her. A few students turned at the sound.
What are you talking about? Charisse squeaked. You got a girlfriend? I've never seen you with anyone. Marcus never said anything about that. Seriously?
Trey rubbed his forehead and shook his head.
No. I mean, yes. Maybe, I guess.
What are you trying to say? Charisse demanded. You mean you're taking some other girl to the party?
Trey looked from Angel to Charisse and then back at Angel. A few drops of sweat beaded on his forehead. More students turned at their desks to listen. Angel wished she could escape from the classroom. Somehow, Trey looked the same way. Finally, after several agonizing seconds, he blurted out,
No. I mean, what I meant to say was, I'm going with Angel.
All right. Charisse cheered with a wide grin. My brother will drive us, and we can all go to Grills before the party for burgers. This is going to be on point.
Trey turned around and nodded weakly at Charisse. While his back was turned, Angel glared at Charisse and shook her head angrily. Charisse ignored her and started pulling books from her bag, humming happily. Just then, Mr. Collins strode into the classroom and began taking attendance. Unusually tall and broad, Mr. Collins looked more like a linebacker than an English teacher. He had a full, bushy beard, a booming voice, and he often seemed uncomfortably constricted in the dress shirts and ties he wore. Occasionally, he would loosen his tie so it hung slack around his neck. As big and gruff as he was, Mr. Collins often became emotional when discussing his favorite poems. Charisse and other students thought he was strange, but Mr. Collins was Angel's favorite teacher. Yet today, she didn't want to see him or anyone. Mr. Collins opened his book and started pacing in front of the class. He read silently for a moment and then stared toward the back of the room, his gaze far away and tender, as if he were looking at a beautiful sunrise instead of a cinder block wall. Angel heard a few stifled snorts of laughter from students behind her. Then Mr. Collins boomed out a stanza of the poem he had assigned for homework.
The caged bird sings with fearful trill of the things unknown, but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom.
Mr. Collins finished reading and sighed, his eyes suddenly misty.
So, what is Maya Angelou saying? He asked, moving between rows of students.
Earlier, we saw a free bird floating on the breeze and claiming the entire sky as his own.
Here, Angelou presents a caged bird with clipped wings, and yet the caged bird sings
Why?
Silence filled the classroom. A few students shifted in their seats. Someone nearby coughed. Angel knew her classmates expected her to answer. It's what usually happened, but now her thoughts were clouded by what Charisse had just done. Why didn't she listen? Why does she think I need a boyfriend? The questions came to Angel in waves, but one stuck in her mind with a voice louder than the others. Why do I feel so different from everyone else? Angel looked around the classroom, her eyes suddenly burning. It seemed as if all the girls she knew had changed in the past year. Like Charisse, they chattered nonstop about boys, parties, and the clothes they wanted to wear to parties to impress the boys. More and more often, Angel felt as if she was on the outside, looking in, watching everyone else move along happily and effortlessly, while she felt trapped.
"Anyone?" Mr. Collins asked.
He caught Angel's eyes just as she wiped them.
"Angel, what do you think?"
"Please, Mr. Collins, not now," she wanted to say. Instead, she took a deep breath and stared at the poem. She felt like that bird, shut in a cage, watching the free birds having the time of their lives.
"Well,"
Angel said finally, looking up from her book into Mr. Collins' eyes,
"I don't know why a trapped bird would ever sing. I would think it would want to cry instead."
"I just wish you hadn't done that," Angel said to Charisse as they walked home after school. It was a warm Friday afternoon, and Angel squinted at the sun that glared down at them. The older apartment buildings and squat stucco homes that lined her street looked small and uncomfortably close as she walked. The few weedy yards near her house seemed imprisoned behind their chain-link fences. Angel thought they almost looked like small jails.
"But it worked," Charisse replied. "You're going to the party with the cutest boy in our class, and I can say that because Marcus is his twin," she added with a grin.
"Don't you get it?" Angel asked, her voice rising, anger bubbling in her chest.
"I don't want you fixing me up with someone I hardly know. And I can tell Trey doesn't even want to go with me. He only said yes because he was embarrassed and wanted you to stop asking him in front of everyone."
"Don't worry, it's all good," Charisse said in a hurry. "You're finally going out with a boy, Angel, and it's about time."
"I had to do it. I mean, you haven't even kissed one yet, have you?"
Angel winced. Not again, she thought. The last thing she wanted to do or talk about was kissing boys. The thought made her feel awkward and uncomfortable.
"I kissed a boy last summer when I was visiting my grandma," Angel lied quickly. "It wasn't a big deal."
Charisse stopped walking.
"You what?"
"You never told me."
"What was his name? Was he older? Was he cute?"
Angel shook her head quickly, realizing her mistake.
"It was just a quick kiss at a party at my cousin's," she said. "I don't remember his name or anything."
"That ain't a real kiss," Charisse huffed.
"It doesn't count if you can't remember."
Angel felt as if she had just been slapped. Charisse must have noticed because she immediately put her hand on Angel's shoulder.
"Look, Angel, don't worry. I'm gonna do your makeup and help you pick out an outfit at the mall tomorrow and everything. You're gonna look incredible," she said with a smile.
Charisse's words seemed silly to Angel. She had seen her own reflection in her bedroom mirror this morning. Plain, confused, drab. Those words fit, but not incredible. And yet, she could feel boys beginning to notice her, especially lately. And then there was Wynn. "He was getting ready to ask me to the party before Charisse butted in," Angel remembered. Of all the boys in her class, Wynn was the one boy Angel thought she would actually enjoy going to the party with, but only as a friend. She wondered if he would be okay with that.
"You know, I think I'd rather go with Wynn," Angel confessed.
"He was about to ask me when you and Marcus walked over."
"Wynn?"
Charisse recoiled as if she had just smelled something rotten. Then she burst out laughing.
"Girl, now I know you've lost your mind. You'd have to be crazy to want to go to the party with that boy when you could go with Trey."
Angel shrugged. Why does Charisse care so much about who she went with?
"Seriously, Angel, get real," Charisse finally said. "Wynn is Chinese. You're black. Plus, he has a strange haircut and wears weird clothes. What difference does any of that make? Angel asked angrily. I like Wynn. He's smart and funny, and he's always nice.
Whatever, Charisse sighed.
The two walked in silence for a moment before Angel felt Charisse's hand rest on her shoulder.
Look, I'm sorry if I was pushy about hooking you and Trey up, but you gotta go with him. I promise we're gonna have a blast. And once Trey sees you all dressed up, he's gonna wish he got with you a long time ago. You'll see. Plus, everyone's gonna be jealous of us going with Trey and Marcus. It'll be awesome.
Just then, Angel heard the rumble of a bass beat. A blue sports car full of teenagers slowly passed by. The music throbbed louder as the rear window opened. LaDonna Burns leaned her head out of the car.
Hey, Char,
she shouted.
See you tomorrow morning, girl.
Char? Angel wondered. No one ever called Charisse that.
You know it.
Charisse waved back with a grin. She then turned quickly to Angel as if she owed her an explanation.
LaDonna's gonna meet us tomorrow at the mall. Her cousin's the manager of Style One.
What? Angel asked.
You're kidding, right?
Nope.
LaDonna says her cousin knows all the best deals and when new stuff's coming.
No.
I mean about LaDonna meeting us.
She doesn't want to hang with me. Does she even know I'm going to be there?
It's only going to be for a little while. This way we can all go to Style One together, Charisse replied, gazing at the disappearing car with an almost dreamy look.
LaDonna's cool with it. She's cool with everything.
Angel sighed. Charisse's excitement at being friends with LaDonna made her uneasy.
Well, I'll check with my mom and see, Angel said as they made their way back to her apartment building. I don't know how long she's going to let me stay at the mall, and I doubt she's going to give me any money for an outfit for a party she doesn't even know I'm going to.
And that I don't even want to go to, Angel thought to herself.
It's all good, Charisse repeated with a broad smile as she turned up her block. Everything's going to turn out perfect. You'll see.
In her room later that night, after getting Dion to bed and trying unsuccessfully to talk to Mom, Angel grabbed the secret notebook she had hidden in her mattress. She took a deep breath and reread what she had written yesterday evening.
I'll admit it. There is someone in our class that I would love to go to the party with, but can you imagine?
That could never happen.
Could it?
Charisse would freak out.
So would everyone else, I'm pretty sure.
What would happen if I asked? Angel felt her heart pounding in her chest. She glanced around the room, making sure her door was shut and that she was completely alone. The pen suddenly felt powerful in her fingers. She inhaled deeply and moved it to where she had left off. She felt her fingers tense up and the pen began to slide, the slick ink forming words before her eyes, words she had never said and could barely admit, though she'd felt them for some time.
What would happen if I asked Justice to go with me? What if I like girls more than boys?